Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry of Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this, the first Sunday after Pentecost and Graduate Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Go Therefore. Here's Thomas with our scripture reading.
Hear this reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.
There comes a time in every little bird's life when they have to finally leave the nest. The timing may vary depending on the species of bird and careful negotiations between parent and child. Parents, you may imagine, often want the little birds to leave the nest as early as possible, whereas the children, the baby chicks, want to stay in the comfort of their first home as long as possible. Despite these domestic disputes, the nesting environments themselves often play a role in the timing of a young bird's departure. For some birds, like towhees and juncos, who build open cup nests on or near the ground, the risk of staying in the nest is huge. Predators often find the nest within days, if not hours, after the baby birds hatch. For others, like chickadees and bluebirds, whose nests tend to be more hidden, closed off, those chicks tend to remain in the nest longer, giving their wings and flying skills a little more time to develop before they're out in the wild on their own. No matter what, those first few moments outside the nest, they're wrought with fear and trepidation as baby birds summon the courage to step out on their own and perhaps to begin to fly. There's a reason this metaphor is used so often in times of major change. Leaving the nest is totally uncomfortable. It's lonely, and at times it can even be wrought with danger. There's another side of this equation called empty nesting. Some of you may have heard this before, and some of you may be about to experience this in just a few months. It happens when the kids are all grown up and they've moved out. They no longer need the daily, if not hourly, support that they once needed. In times of empty nesting, parents, human parents, feel like bird parents, no longer responsible for the unending work of going out into the world to catch worms to bring back home and to repeat over and over again, filling our days with the responsibilities of parenting. There's often fear about what one might do with all this newfound free time and perhaps empty square footage. When young people reach the point of high school graduation and prepare for the next steps, parents and graduates alike are ready to clear out the nest. Ready as we think we are, though, stepping out and sometimes nudging our children out can be scary for everyone involved. This morning, we're engaging in an annual tradition, a day in which we celebrate and recognize our graduates, young people, many of whom we have watched grow up in our church. They're graduating from high school or from college or graduate programs and stepping out into the great big world of uncertainty. They're leaving the nest, so to speak. Now, under normal circumstances, we might guide them toward all of the conventional next steps. Complete your education, find a field that you really enjoy, get a good internship, and that'll set you up for a life-giving career. After all the pieces will fall into place if you just follow those steps. They did for many of us, and we assume that they might for you too. But now, this year, in this specific moment in time, these basic next steps, they seem to fall a little short. It seems that right now there are no guarantees. Life outside the nest seems more uncertain than ever before. And add to that, so many of the changes and the uncertainties that we now face, they were unimaginable. For just about the whole time you graduates were in school planning for this moment. Everything has changed, and everything has changed very quickly. The scripture reading for today picks up at the very end of Matthew's gospel. In just one short chapter, right at the end, the two Marys discover the empty tomb, and then they go to tell the other disciples. Then they go on to Galilee, just as the resurrected Christ had instructed them to do. It is an action-packed chapter. This is senior year for the disciples. They'd been following Jesus throughout Galilee for the better part of 3 years, listening to parables describing the coming kingdom of God. They had been internalizing Jesus' ethical teachings as he pushed the boundaries of social and religious status quo, insisting on love and justice over purity and piety. They processed into Jerusalem with Jesus just a few days prior, anticipating a triumphant culmination of all that they'd been working for, and then everything changed. Jesus was killed, not crowned. And it seemed like all was lost. Nothing would ever be the same again. Nobody could have planned for this. This isn't exactly the commencement address the disciples had imagined when they set off to learn the ways of Jesus. The disciples thought that their spiritual education would come to an end in Jerusalem, the heart of their faith where the temple was located. And perhaps they had imagined that they might come back to that place, you know, one day in the future, to remember the triumph of Jesus that was supposed to happen there, but it didn't exactly unfold the way that they had expected it to. Rather than directing them toward Jerusalem, the resurrected Christ sends the disciples away from the holy city, away from the temple, and out toward Galilee. Galilee was the location where Jesus' ministry had taken shape before. It was the home of the Sermon on the Mount. It was the very place where Jesus fed the masses, where he healed the sick. It was the training ground for the disciples. I wonder if they thought this was where they would regroup and plan their revised future together, you know, the disciples with Jesus. But that's not quite what happened either. The disciples, who now numbered 11, having lost Judas to Jerusalem, they gathered in Galilee, anxiously waiting for Jesus to tell them the plan. And then it comes. Go, therefore, Jesus says. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Like little baby birds with underdeveloped wings, the disciples, they are pushed out of the nest, forced to fly on their own. Go, Jesus says. But we're not ready, they must have been thinking. Our wings, they're not developed yet. We haven't been trained for this. Everything is different, and now it's scary out there. What if I fall? What if I get hurt? What if I mess up? This year, graduates and parents and churchgoers and people of faith, all of us totally understand this feeling of being shoved out of the nest. All of our nests, all of our comfortable spaces have now been transformed, first by COVID-19 and then by the outcries issued from people of color challenging us to listen to them, to bring an end to racism, and to create a future where all people are treated equally, just as we are all created and beloved and seen equally in the eyes of God. No space feels like safe space anymore. and we long for the comfort of our nests. This year, the annual commissioning of graduates feels like more of a commissioning for all of us as we go out into the great unknown. We've said it before during these last few months, but now it rings truer than ever. We cannot go back to the way things were before. We cannot pick up life as usual. We cannot maintain the status quo. And like the disciples standing on that mountain in Galilee, we are hearing the call to go long before we feel ready. Where will we go? What will we do? And what will it really matter? But also, like the disciples, when we listen, we might hear the words of Jesus through the Gospel of Matthew reminding us that we do know what to do. We do know because Jesus has been teaching us all along. We are to go forth to make disciples, just as we have been made disciples, followers of Jesus, the one who taught us to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to liberate all who remain captive to systems and sources of oppression. We are called to go and make disciples. And we are also called to baptize with living water, offering new life that is rooted deep within the heart of Christ. And we're called to teach, not just some things, but everything. Everything that we have learned along the way about love and acceptance, about working together for shalom, for wholeness, and always choosing peace in the face of violence. Teach them everything, Jesus says. Teach them that bit about welcoming strangers and loving outcasts. Teach them about listening to the cries of the downtrodden and the brokenhearted, for there on the margins, crying out for justice, that is where you found me, Jesus reminds us. And that is where we will continue to find Jesus. So go, therefore, go and do everything I have taught you, Jesus says. The trouble is, it's never been done this way before, the disciples must have thought, and likewise, you and I must be thinking now. To our young people who are graduating from high school and looking ahead to start college and careers, we don't know what the next 6 months or 6 weeks or even 6 days are going to hold, because we've never been through anything like this before. But we do know, young people, students, graduates, we do know that you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Actually, you're going to be better than okay. You're going to go and make a difference in this world, changing it for the better in ways that our whole world is crying out for change. And we know this because you have made a difference here, in our little nest, in the short time that we have had you here with us. You're going to make the world better. Because you have drawn near to the heart of Christ these last years. You have learned the language of God's love. You have learned to see with God's eyes, and you have learned to hear the cries of the unheard, the cries which God's own ears hear. And though many of you will soon leave the Greystone nest to live your faith bravely and boldly in our world, we know, and hopefully you know too, that you do not go alone. But you carry each and every one of us with you, every step of the way. And even better than that, just as the disciples were commissioned to go out into Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching others everything that they had learned, you also carry within yourselves, just as we carry within ourselves, each and every one of us, the promise that Christ is with us always. Even when we're shoved out of the nest a little too early, even when everything around us seems to be changing, every moment, every place, and every time, even until the end of the age. So go, therefore. The whole world is crying out for the good news.